You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. The podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, QB rules expert, in for Greeny today. How you doing, Hembo?
Honestly?
Oh, boy.
Honestly.
Really? When you start with honestly, like we had great NBA last night with the Celtics and the Nuggets and Denver proving yet again why they're the defending champs and how they operate. We have NFL free agency with Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh maybe for a visit there. We have all of these Justin Fields conversation about maybe he should go to more of a contending team and have a gap year. And you start the simple question of how you're doing with honestly, indicating that your normal answer would not be honest.
Indicating that I overcomplicate everything. But honestly, I'm about to embark upon one of the great weekends of my life.
Oh, boy.
Here because in mere hours, I and two buddies will be traveling to Cooperstown, New York for our annual trip to the Baseball Hall of Fame, a place where I wish I had gotten married, a place where someday I hope to be enshrined, a place where someday I hope
to be enshrined,
where my ashes will be scattered. Yeah, I think someday I might.
You think you can become a Baseball Hall of Famer?
I mean, they.
You think it's possible?
I think there is a non-zero chance that someday I win the Ford Frick Award or some other, like, fringy media type award, and I will visit the place annually until I do.
Wait a minute.
You are eliminating the possibility that someday I might be able to, in a roundabout way, become a Hall of Famer?
Is Buster only in the Hall of Fame?
He's not.
And you think that maybe you should go first?
I'm not suggesting I'm next in line.
Right.
But I am suggesting that someday, perhaps 50, 60 years from now, I have accrued enough goodwill around the baseball world to be considered with the likes of Vin Scully and all the legendary figures in the history of the sports. Bubba,
that's
like, you know
ass.
How much I love baseball.
Oh my God.
And how much I know baseball. Be honest. Like, do you think this is something that I should chase down in the next 50 years?
I mean, I think you should get in there for just going every year.
Just visiting as often as I do?
Yeah, I think there's something for that. I think there should be some sort of an award or a plaque just for this lunatic comes to the Hall of Fame every single year with his friends.
It's an annual pilgrimage that I enjoy.
I can't imagine.
Based on that logic,
many
Bubba,
other people are doing that.
Based on that logic, I don't want to know what Hall of Fame you may be inducted into.
He's rock and roll.
Based on the frequency of places that you go, I'm not saying you, Bubba, I'm saying anyone. Like, if people are going to be inducted into a Hall of Fame based on how many times they attend, I have to be in the Pizza Hall of Fame.
And Bubba's in the Central Connecticut Beer Pong Hall of Fame as well.
Absolutely.
Did you not know that?
No, I did not know
Bubba
that.
Bubba is a phenomenal beer pong player.
Absolutely. Five-time Festivus champion.
Do you want to hear the last five Ford Frick Award winners?
Yeah.
Please.
In comparison to Hembo.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that's a win, that's a loss. This person against Hembo.
All right.
And that's a win, that's a loss for Hall of Fame in Major League Baseball.
Joe Castiglione.
That's a loss. What's the next one, Mikey?
Pat Hughes.
That's a loss.
Jack Graney. Al Michaels.
That's a little Jack Graney I'm not as familiar with.
I've probably spoken
his pictures
more
in black and white.
Yeah, so. I don't know who that is. And then the in 19 or 20 was Hawk Harrelson. So that's a pretty hefty lineup to stack up with.
He's
there,
0-4-1. Hembo. The one guy we don't know, maybe he's in the mix with.
For now, I will retire this dream, and in the meantime, I will just go up there and enjoy for the umpteenth time reading.
So how
about
many times have you been there?
Mel, a dozen-ish.
Jeez.
Does something change?
Very rarely. I mean, every year you'll get a couple new plaques to read.
I mean, it is a nice town. I will give you that.
It's glorious.
What do you actually like? So since you, I know what the first time visitor would do, right? You'd read everything, you'd consume everything. I'm sure they have experiential things that you could do. But the 12th time visitor, what does the 12th time visitor to the Baseball Hall of Fame do?
So I do the same thing each time I go. I read every piece of information there is off of the walls every time, just because I enjoy it so much. You know, it's like for example, if you were someone that likes watching movies, like watching a movie multiple times is still thrilling to some people for reasons unbeknownst to me.
That makes sense.
But there's a lot of things to do in the town of Cooperstown along the strip. There are beautiful shops. You just talk ball with residents. There are very family friendly and like familiar restaurants.
Okay, may I interrupt? Where they know things?
Sure.
Let me go backwards here. So you're saying, like, you go into the local deli in Cooperstown, you're mm-hmm. like, how about Willie McGee, the year where he was leading the AL and NL in batting at one point?
But Willie McGee's not a Hall of Famer.
No, but you just talk ball.
But everyone in that town knows who Hannes Wagner is.
Yeah, but so that's one thing. And the second thing is, you think it is more abnormal to see a movie twice than to go to the Hall of Fame 12 times?
No, I don't think it's more abnormal. I just can't relate to it.
I think it was a good comparison.
You won't see movies more than once, Cam?
No. I'm saying his idea of, you know, going to a place he's already been, he lines that up with people seeing their favorite movie, TV shows, and stuff multiple times. I think that makes sense.
I guess it's not. You know what? Cam laid it out better than you did.
The whole thing, though, about Cooperstown and its origin is so askew historically, because Abner Doubleday, Cooperstown native, isn't actually the originator of baseball, even though that's sort of widely considered to be the case. No, Alexander Cartwright is the father of baseball. It has been proven historically that Abner Doubleday was actually at the Battle of Gettysburg at the time in which people posited he was inventing baseball. So the fact that the Hall of Fame is even in Cooperstown is based upon fiction, which is why I much prefer nonfiction.
Where would you like the Hall of Fame to be located?
Well, I'm fine with it being there now because that's become the baseball thing. It's the pilgrimage. It's, you know, the first induction class was in the mid-30s.
Of course.
And Ty Cobb didn't go because he was unwilling to pay to stay at the hotel overnight. That's how cheap he was at the time. Little known fact.
Wow. So you're looking forward to this thing.
Oh, I cannot freaking wait.
So you're leaving at what time and what time's the drive?
I'm not leaving until tomorrow morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm not leaving until tomorrow morning. It's about 3.5 hours. I will spend the entire day Sunday, 8 hours, going through the museum.
Okay, one other quick thing, because I know we have to move on.
Do you think I'll be confronted by fans?
I was thinking about that. I think based on this, it's well now I have two things. Well, first of all, more likely to happen, you inducted into the Hall of Fame or Greeny Commissioner of Baseball?
That's a good question. Cam, what do you think? What is likelier? I'm a Hall of Famer someday, or someday Greeny is the commissioner of Major League Baseball?
I think Greeny being the commissioner is somehow more likely.
No, it's not.
I think
Bubba,
it
you're
is.
Shaking your head. You agree?
I think it is.
Yeah, I don't see any way you're getting.
How
into
are
the
you
baseball
getting in the Hall of Fame?
I'm getting in the Hall of Fame if I'm lucky enough to like be like a person that does this for like 50 years and becoming like a baseball evangelist or something. That's my chance.
I hate to do this. I think there's a better chance of him getting into the Hall of Fame.
Bang!
I don't know that Greeny would say yes if he actually got the offer.
It'd be a massive pay cut.
I think that, well, yes. But I also think, like, does he want the aggravation of having to deal with that and having to go to all these games all the time?
He keeps saying he does.
I don't think so. I don't know him as well as you guys, but I'm starting to get to know him better and better. I don't think he'd actually want the job he's clamoring for. I think the beauty of clamoring for the job is that you never actually want it, nor be offered it. I am not suggesting that Hembo is going to get into the Hall of Fame, but if you project out for the next 50 years for him to just be a champion of this sport, like Buster Olney or Tim Kirkchen.
Tim Kirkchen did get in last year.
Right, and
that's
you're nowhere near Tim Kirkchen.
Of course not, but
I just wanted to double down
but
on
at
that.
30,
again, let me remind you, you're nowhere near Tim Kirkchen.
I am nowhere near Tim Kirkchen.
By the
Kirkchen.
Way, you're nowhere near Tim Kirkchen.
But at 33 years old, was Tim Kirkchen anywhere near me?
Yeah, he was further along or farther along.
You think he was further along than me?
Where was he at 33?
I don't know. That was a long time ago.
Oh, my God. You didn't just do that, did you?
I loved him, but he's not.
Sounds
a,
like it.
He's no spring chicken. It was like a lifetime achievement award. That's what I was seeking. I'm seeking a lifetime achievement award.
You're saying it's a compiler?
It's a compiler.
It looks like Tim Kirkchen was covering the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun from 89 to 97, which would put him right around where Hembo is now.
Who would be the person that would best vouch for you right now if Bubba and Cam were to get an ESPN-related guest that would potentially say, you know what, Hembo's on to something. Maybe he could be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Is there someone?
Who's putting me on that Hall of Fame track?
Like would Buster. Buster would say that he could be a Hall of Famer.
Buster has you on every week.
Buster has, but I'm not in the promo.
Yeah,
that is messed up.
You don't even make a promo and you think you're going to get into promo, meaning the commercial for the show. Like, you're going to get into the Hall of Fame?
I think if Greeny became the commissioner, he would champion for me to get in the Hall of Fame.
He would probably have you banned. So he wouldn't have to see you. You'd be with Pete Rose.
And Joe Jackson? I would be with Pete Rose and Joe Jackson.
Then you won't be allowed to go in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Right. I'd be like signing hats on the main street in Cooperstown on induction weekend just to clamor to be in. That would
signing
be my lot
hats.
In life.
What level of celebrity do you think you are?
Pete Rose does that.
Pete Rose is the all-time hits leader.
I was recognized
You're
at the Butcher
guy,
last
forget
week.
Forget up.
I was recognized at the Butcher last week. I'm so famous, yeah. I had to say I've never heard of that guy. Come on.
Can I make a statement about, and it is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with the Hall of Famer Hambo, Evan Cohen, with you. So Denver beats Boston last night in the NBA, obviously. And I think right now the Boston Celtics have more pressure to win a title than any other team in all of sports.
Hmm.
And here's my reasoning. If they don't, if we look at what, like, the top line of greatness in current sports and, like, when you're evaluating teams, let's look at the two best players on a team and their coach. Tell me a team that if they don't win a title in their next season or their current season, meaning basketball and hockey now or soon to be baseball and obviously the NFL. Tell me a team that in that scenario that I just laid out would be more likely to remove two of those three pieces than the Boston Celtics. If they don't get to the finals and win a title this year, there is a very good chance that Joe Mazzulla, their head coach, will not be there. And there is a very good chance that Jaylen Brown would be traded, I think. So let's look at the sport that you obviously have been a Hall of Famer in, in baseball. There is an insane amount of conversation about the Dodgers. I don't believe if the Dodgers fall short that two of the three of Ohtani, Mookie, and Dave Roberts would be removed. One of them, maybe. Maybe Dave Roberts. Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani are going absolutely nowhere.
I agree with that. And Freddie Freeman would stay too, so I think Dave Roberts, the manager, is the only person with actual stakes, and as we know in baseball, the manager doesn't really matter. So I agree with you.
I don't like
with the
that
Dodgers.
You just said that. I'm taking you out of the Hall of Fame. The manager doesn't matter at all. Like, I just, how do you explain Bruce Bochy and what he's done?
The way that I phrased it was too reductive. But on balance, there are probably no more than half a dozen managers in baseball at a given time that actually make a meaningful, positive difference. Most managers in baseball make almost no difference, which is why managers in baseball have made much less money than their counterparts in other sports. It is proven economically.
Yeah, my fault. I took us off the path here. The path is about the Celtics, right? They lose last night. The Nuggets are really good. And I just don't know that there's a team with more pressure on them than Boston. Like, they have to win a title.
Or
Joe Mazzulla and Jaylen Brown were not going to be there. Are not going to be there.
I don't agree with that. I do agree that there is enormous pressure, but I don't see Joe Mazzulla being fired after this season or Jaylen Brown being traded after this season. Perhaps you could view this as a 2-year sort of pressure window for the Celtics. But Joe Mazzulla, in addition to being super young, is also super well-respected and highly regarded. The way that their season ended last year, absolutely.
I mean, I think he's good, but super respected and highly regarded, Joe Mazzulla? I don't think so.
By people that know basketball, Joe Mazzulla has an excellent reputation. An excellent reputation.
Who are these people you're talking? I mean, Kendrick Perkins literally dumps on Joe Mazzulla on a weekly basis on our air.
Right, and for no good reason. I mean, the way that there's...
Joe Mazzulla's done a great job with Boston up until this point. He was thrown into a situation that he probably got the job a year ahead of where maybe he should have because Ime Udoka gets fired for non-basketball reasons, and Will Hardy, who was their lead assistant, gets the Jazz job, and the Boston Celtics right before the season last year are like, what are we going to do? We need somebody to coach
and
this
team. And
he
got team. Them to game seven of the conference finals.
I agree. I'm not saying you're not right about the premise. I'm saying he doesn't have the public support that you're suggesting.
Perhaps not.
That if the Boston
Perhaps
Celtics...
Not.
Like, because I've heard people say, what about the Buffalo Bills? The Buffalo Bills lose to a juggernaut in the Kansas City Chiefs, right? I love the Miami Heat. You know that. The Miami Heat are not a juggernaut that the Boston Celtics lose to every single year, seemingly, or two of the last 3 years.
Right.
In the Celtics are the juggernaut. So if this clutch time situation that we're talking about with Boston continues to go wrong, right, And in this spot, they don't get to the finals or get to a championship. I'm saying if you say best two players and head coach and pressure to win a title, two of those three are gone into next year. And there's not a team in sports with more pressure on them than this team. Who would be your counter to that?
The Buffalo Bills and or Baltimore Ravens are the top of head teams that come to mind.
Okay.
I could see McDermott and or Harbaugh going if they continue to fail to reach the top of the mountain.
I cannot see Harbaugh going. And if you look at the two best players, Lamar Jackson, Roquan Smith, and John Harbaugh, the head coach, I think all three are back, even if they fail. Buffalo is interesting because who do you deem their second best player to be?
Well, it was Stephon Diggs for a time, and he might even...
I don't know if he's going to be there this year.
That's right.
I asked Chris Canty on Sportsmanlike this morning with Michelle Smallman and I that exact question, and he said probably Steph Diggs, and I said I'm not comfortable
probably Ed Oliver, but I mean, he doesn't rise to the level of a superstar for sure.
So then two of the three are probably not going to
probably
be
probably not.
Right. So, and I know that this is an arbitrary way of evaluating things. I'm just saying when we think about this run of Celtics basketball, Brad Stevens is a part of it also, but you're thinking about Tatum and Brown, and you're thinking about now Mazzulla. And what we saw last night from Boston was a competitive game against Denver, and you're going to pick Denver over them in a seven-game series. If they are to play against each other in the finals, you have to pick Denver over them. And I'm not certain, as we sit here, I don't think the Boston Celtics should definitely get into the NBA Finals.
You think the Celtics are likelier or less likely to get there than Denver?
At this point, as I sit here today, I think the Western Conference is better, but the Celtics are less likely.
Oh, I disagree with that. We should put a pin in that.
Oh, God. How many pins? I don't have enough pins to put in all these things, especially when there's some really juicy breaking news about a destination for a potential Hall of Fame quarterback that we're going to get to coming up. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to save money when you bundle your auto policy with home, condo, or renters. You'll earn a multi-policy discount. Easy to bundle, easy to save. Visit Progressive.com. He's a future Hall of Famer, and I'm a QB analyst. Tembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny. Here on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny. Here on ESPN Radio, we have some breaking news about a potential Hall of Fame quarterback. But first, ESPN Bet is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. All right, Hembo, this is interesting. So Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider and reporter, has put out there, before traveling to Pittsburgh today, Russell Wilson stopped in New Jersey for what one source described as an exploratory meeting with the Giants, per league sources. Wilson is in Pittsburgh today to meet with the Steelers, per sources. He also then tweeted out a photo of Russell Wilson taken at Newark Airport prior to flying to Newark Airport in New Jersey, prior to flying to Pittsburgh. Couple of observations the hashtag crew has had around this is that Russell Wilson, much shorter than the person he took the picture with, which seems to be a regular everyday fan.
Not the best look.
No, and I was surprised that Russell Wilson is flying on a regular plane like the rest of us would fly on.
Well, Russell Wilson is just one of the guys. I mean, he's salt of the earth.
Legendarily.
Who's more one of the guys, Hembo or Russell Wilson?
Let's not do this.
By the way, Russell Wilson here wearing shoes. This fan that's much taller than him is wearing slides.
Yeah.
So Russell Wilson is shrinking, presumably.
You know that when before the flight was taken off, he was getting the catch races going. He's like, all right, guys, let's go. Take flight.
Let's ride.
He had all the catch races going to each person.
Big Blue, let's ride.
Evan, do you think this is indicative of Russell Wilson actually having a market, or is this indicative of Russell Wilson's agent merely doing his job to make sure that his client's name is in the headlines during this sort of free agent season?
I think this is so much vindication and validation for me as a person that thinks that Russell Wilson can still play in this league. I feel so good this morning about this. I really do. Because why are you rolling your eyes at me?
It's a weird turn for me for that question of mine to turn into an answer about you.
I'm not making it about me. I started about me. You interrupted, and then, your eyes went in seven different directions.
Oh, my apologies.
Well,
wandering eyes over
Mike
here.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, sat at this desk on Get Up and said specifically that he thinks the best market for Russell Wilson would be to be the Jets' backup quarterback. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan Graziano, who's wonderful and knows this stuff inside and out, wondered what the market was at all for Russell Wilson a couple of months ago.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So those things were said. At the time they were said, my guess is Dan was 1,000% right. Mike may not have been 1,000% right. But whatever has happened between then and now proves that Russell Wilson at $1.2 million, which is the veteran minimum, has a market. And if you're going to say, well, this doesn't mean he has a market, he has face-to-face meetings. He can sit there tonight with Mike Tomlin, they could be in some private room at a steakhouse, just the two of them, and sit there and talk like two grown-up adults. And Mike Tomlin, I believe more than anyone in this league, will say to him, what?
Nothing.
Give me the peace sign.
I'm waiting for you to finish talking, so
Mike
I will
Tomlin
then ask a question.
We'll say to him, can you fit in? Can I trust you to fit in? I've seen what happened elsewhere. I've seen the perception of you. I don't know if that's the reality. The perception of you is, you're going to be on a different floor than the rest of the team. You're going to have your own office. You're going to have a separate parking spot. You want to be the, as Bill Parcells would always say, per Canty, quote unquote, the celebrity quarterback, right? Is that what you want to be? Or are you going to come here? Rooney family has owned this for 100 years. I've been here for almost 20 years. I've never had a losing season. We do this together as 53. You want to be one of 53 or you want to be one of one? I trust Mike Tomlin having that conversation in a better, more productive way than anyone else in this league. And Russell Wilson is going to be in that room to have a positive, productive conversation, which is a room that some people did not think he'd even get in. And now he's in twice, because now he's with the Giants and the Steelers. And I love it.
I have two questions for you.
I've seen the number two in my face nonstop. People can see it on the ESPN app.
Question number one is this. Vegas, Pittsburgh, the Giants. Assuming that all three of these teams have actual interest, which do you think is the best fit given where Russell Wilson's career currently is and the state of those teams' quarterback rooms?
Yeah, no question, Pittsburgh. And the reason I say Pittsburgh is because of the fact that if Russell Wilson ultimately wants to recoup his value, however you deem value to be, either financially or in terms of either pay or play, right? Let's look at it that way. If you want to be the guy that can potentially be a starting quarterback for years to come, Mike Tomlin is your first reference on your resume is a heck of a reference. Hey, I played for Tomlin for a year. He loved me. He'll call him. They drafted a young quarterback. They got to play that young quarterback. If Mike Tomlin is vouching for you, the entire perception changes.
Mm.
And you can't say, well, he had Sean Payton. Sean Payton didn't want him. Sean Payton didn't vouch for him. Sean Payton wasn't voluntarily bringing him in. Maybe he would have if it cost him $1.2 million. But now, Mike Tomlin could potentially be the guy that brings you in. And oh, by the way, who's to say if he's not good, he couldn't be the quarterback there for the next couple of years after this? If I told you right now that the Pittsburgh Steelers signed him to a one-year, $1.2 million deal, and then after that he was a starting quarterback for the next 2 years, is that impossible?
Yes.
It's impossible? It does not prevent them from drafting another quarterback.
It's highly unlikely.
If do you know that the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, their quarterback play resulted in 13 touchdowns and 9 interceptions total? Russell Wilson, if he has the exact same season a year ago that he had would have this year, 26-8. I brought that up to Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike today, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, and Canty said, well, context matters because the Broncos were down in some games, and then he's throwing more. Even if he throws less, apply that ratio, a 3-to-1 touchdown-interception ratio. That, on a good team, keeps you as the starting quarterback.
But Russell Wilson is done. Russell Wilson's touchdown...
He's not done.
Russell Wilson is done being anything greater than a replacement-level quarterback in the NFL. His touchdown-to-interception ratio last year with Sean Payton was a result of Sean Payton's genius. Was a result of, here's an offense that I designed to be able to maximize your diminished
skill set. Sean Payton is a genius? Is Mike McCarthy also a genius?
Mike McCarthy is not a genius.
They basically have had the same career.
But they've not had the same offenses. I mean, Sean Payton in New Orleans had... over the course of a decade and a half, phenomenal offenses and got phenomenal quarterback play. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think that Mike McCarthy has proven to get phenomenal quarterback play also. I just, like, to me, say I think Sean Payton has proven to be a good coach. I think that the way in which this whole Russell Wilson thing happened, I will never understand. Why are you're signing up for the job for money, right? There's an argument that if somebody as good as Sean Payton has been, you don't sign up for the Broncos job if you hate the quarterback. You sign up because the organization is going to pay you an insane amount of money and you actually trust the organization long term. You're going to fight off that Russell Wilson is good enough to start? Are you fighting that part of this off?
Russell Wilson is a fringe starter.
I just don't understand. How is it that we're sitting here and over the last 24 to 48 hours, we have learned more and more that the market for Justin Fields seems to be nothing, which we did not anticipate initially, and the market for Russell Wilson seems to be two meetings in one day, and I understand he's available before everybody else. I understand that, but am I losing my mind? Didn't everyone say he was done in the league as a starting quarterback and that nobody would want him? And two of the all-time classiest kind of historical organizations want him upon arrival?
So
here?
The obvious difference between Wilson and Fields is that you can sign Russell Wilson for $1.2 million and you have to trade something for Justin Fields. So that's why there's a disconnect in terms of the interest. You used Russell Wilson's touchdown to interception ratio last year, which was excellent, to demonstrate that you think he can still play. Counterpoint. I view sacks primarily as a quarterback stat.
I agree.
Not a function of offensive line. At least not usually. Over the last two seasons, Russell Wilson's two seasons in Denver, he took 100 sacks. That was more than any quarterback in the NFL. Over that period of time, over those two seasons, the Broncos ranked 8th in the NFL in pass block win rate. Russell Wilson turns your offensive line into a disaster. It is true that Russell Wilson avoids interceptions, which is a really good skill to have. But Russell Wilson also makes your offensive line look terrible. And the amount of plays that he sabotages with his inability to make quick decisions does not make up for the fact that he doesn't throw interceptions very often, because negative plays are negative plays. And Russell Wilson over the last 2 years has taken 100 of them.
Sounds like a better coach could have helped him out of that. Sounds like coaching.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I will meet you halfway in saying that Sean Payton never wanted Russell Wilson and perhaps didn't do everything that he could to maximize his skill set, although I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he sabotaged Wilson.
I don't think that either.
I think Russell Wilson's play last season under Sean Payton just wasn't good enough for Sean to say, I want to keep riding with this.
So no part of you is sitting here today with Adam Schefter reporting, for those just tuning in, that Russell Wilson had an exploratory meeting with the New York Giants today and is en route to Pittsburgh to meet with Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. No part of you looks at this and says, well, maybe I should rethink this because Tomlin wants him.
No part of me. The Russell Wilson's interest...
Or may want him. Let me rephrase.
Right, of course. Russell Wilson's interest, I think, primarily stems from how much he won't cost you and has a lot less to do with what he has left.
So some may say that they want him, potentially, because he can outperform his contracts?
Yes, but the only people that would say that are so wise that I don't know, at least personally, anyone that is that high level of thinker. I don't know anyone like that.
Can we just take one step back, if we could? Can we acknowledge that you are somewhat surprised by this? That if you don't want to classify it as a market, that Russell Wilson is getting two face-to-faces right off the bat. Are you somewhat surprised by that?
I'm surprised by that. I thought that Russell Wilson...
So you're fighting from your heels right now on this.
I'm fighting from my heels right now, but I'm fighting from at least a place of logic, because I view the data over the last 2 years to say that Russell Wilson is done. But the fact that there is interest across the league, even if it is for a $1.2 million contract, is at least evidence that there are NFL teams that are intrigued by that possibility. The circle that I can't quite square, though, Evan, is the Russell Wilson part of the Russell Wilson, away from the football field. Here's what I mean.
Yeah.
So Russell Wilson has obviously become something of a flashpoint in our discourse, in part because of the person he is. And that kind of reminds me of the person that Carson Wentz was to a lesser extent. Like, Carson Wentz was an average quarterback his last year in Indianapolis, his lone year in Indianapolis. They could not get rid of him fast enough, and he's basically out of the league 2 years later, for all intents and purposes. Russell Wilson played last year well enough that, theoretically, he should keep getting jobs,
yeah.
But Russell Wilson instead is looking for one because the Broncos would rather pay him $85 million than to be their quarterback.
But you just said that you believe that Russell Wilson's play last year, theoretically should keep getting him jobs. Free agency starts Monday. He's allowed to talk to other teams, and two teams are talking to him. Think about how many free agents will go this entire offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Players that played in the league last year, and nobody's going to call them. Cam Newton is the best comp to me situationally to Russell Wilson a few years ago when New England signed him. Late in the process, $1 million deal. Cam comes in, veteran minimum quarterback, starts for the season. Could have potentially been a little bit better if he didn't have COVID, didn't have to sit out, wasn't sick, et cetera, et cetera. Gets released in training camp and nobody called him after that. Cam Newton would have loved to be in the situation that Russell Wilson is in today.
No doubt.
So this whole, he has no market, he played himself out of the league, at this point, just feels like total fabrication. That is not remotely true. Russell Wilson will not have to wait a single day to join a team based on what is currently happening by way of reporting with Adam Schefter, which is not that he's signing with the team, but that he is meeting with the team. There is legit indication that Russell Wilson will have a chance at starting in the NFL this year.
So reading the tea leaves, do you think that Russell Wilson will sign a free agent contract with one of these teams or perhaps another sometime fairly soon after free agency starts?
I do believe that. I think the one wrinkle here would be Minnesota. Because where does Kirk Cousins go? So if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta and it takes a day or two or whatever it is, does Russ wait and think about Minnesota and say to Mike Tomlin, I need some time on this? Because that opportunity in Minnesota, you walk in right away, you're going to be the starter from day one. They're going to draft a quarterback, and you have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and company to throw to. If I'm Russ, while I know that that is potentially a better opportunity, you may have to just take the first opportunity,
right,
assuming it's not terrible.
Minnesota's an intriguing possibility, as is Vegas. The opportunity to throw to Devontae Adams and have a clear path to be their QB1 strikes me as a clearer path than what Pittsburgh might offer them, no? Vegas and Minnesota both provide...
For some reason, and Schefter has reported that Vegas also plans to meet with Russ.
Okay.
That's three teams. No market, Hembo. Hembo keeps falling on his agents doing a good job of putting stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter is not putting lies out there, Hembo.
No, he's not.
These are meeting. His agents or whomever Adam's sources, I'm not even going to speculate on that, are... Adam is going to double and triple check to make sure, is Russ there? Is he meeting with you today? Et cetera, et cetera. Like, I think, I'm not looking to win arguments. I'm looking to start arguments.
Mm.
You lost. I'm sorry.
You can't declare
yourself
the winner in an argument between us.
Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you love, visit progressive.com/careers. Sneaky Hembo trivia?
Yes, group trivia. Okay. And this is going to take us a couple minutes, but it is a magnificent question. So I am looking at
humble.
I'm going to understate the sale here. I am looking at a list of every three-time MVP in the history of the NBA. There are eight players in NBA history that have won at least three MVP awards. You are going to give me all 8 players? That's the question.
Eight players in NBA history that have won 3 or more MVPs. Coming up, the answer to that question next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
All right, Himbo, we got Sneaky Himbo Trivia. Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. Can you ask the question? It is group trivia, correct?
It is correct. I am looking at a list of every 3-time MVP in the history of the NBA. Now, there are 8 players, 8, in NBA history that have won at least 3 MVPs, and you are going to give me all 8.
Where's Jack, by the way? Is he there?
Jack and Brandon are both here. Yeah.
Well, Jack's supposed to be Mr. NBA. Why is he not helping us?
Okay, well, we have one. We know one already is done. Because, boy, Himbo, for somebody so smart, sometimes you're pretty dumb. Do you schedule your tweets?
Do I schedule my tweets?
Yeah.
I do. Days in advance, usually.
Days in advance.
Well, we know Larry Bird is one of them because you scheduled a tweet that literally just came out and we all saw your tweet.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah, we know it's correct because you literally put it out there.
I mean, everyone knows that Larry Bird's a 3-time MVP, so I was not expecting you not to get it right.
It is just funny that as we were about to do this question that tweet came out.
I know 7 of them.
Absolutely hilarious.
Wait, Jack knows 7 of them?
Yeah, Jack's Mr. NBA over here.
I'm not positive about the 8th, but I have...
All right, I'm going to put forward the guesses that we know for sure. Michael Jordan.
That's correct.
Absolutely. Okay.
LeBron James.
That's correct.
Oh, Jack can't hear. I didn't realize
No.
that. Yeah, okay.
Kareem.
You locking it in, Cam?
Yes.
That's correct.
Yep, thank you.
How about Wilt, guys? Wilt.
You guys, are you all good with Wilt?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
What's our next one?
We got 5,
Bill
right?
Bill Russell.
I think Bill Russell is good next.
I think
guess.
Jack's making the final decisions on this based on the
Are you going to lock in Bill Russell?
Yes, Bill Russell.
Jack?
Yeah, Bill Russell.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
You are 6-for-6.
All right, let's talk here even though Jack can't
Magic.
Hear us.
Magic did it.
So Jack and Brandon are positing Magic. How good do we feel about Magic?
Positive.
They're so if they're positive,
you got to think about the 80s a little bit.
If so we're hearing if positive.
Bird, if Bird won 3,
yeah, he would have had to get 3 within that same time period.
Yeah,
and Kareem is in a little bit there too, but
we got
not a
Kareem
ton.
Already.
Yes,
got Kareem.
But Kareem would have been dating back to the 70s.
Yeah, true,
also.
True. So he probably had
All
most
right,
of
I'm
those.
Comfortable with
Let's
that.
Go with Magic.
That's right.
Okay,
that was part of their thing. The Magic.
If
and
I'm
Bird.
Keeping track properly, you guys are 7-for-7.
We are. We need one more.
My guesstimation is that we're missing somebody in the 70s. Because we have some Kareem in the 70s. We have Wilt and Russell in the 60s.
Yes.
We have MJ in the 90s. We have nobody recently, right? Because Giannis won 2, Jokic won 2, KD may have won. Well, he definitely won 1, and Steph won 2.
He definitely did not win 3.
So we are clearly missing someone that may have been 60s into 70s or 70s into 80s.
So, Cam,
what about 90s into 2000s with
over into the 60s.
Shaq?
It started in 1956.
Yes.
So, Cam,
if it's somebody back then,
Jack, if you don't mind. Cam, right now, Jack can't even hear, and he's having a conversation with Brandon by themselves in front of a microphone. Cam, right now, what are the names on your list that you've not guessed yet that might be the eighth one?
I have written down Kobe, Shaq, George Gervin, Elvin Hayes, Oscar Robertson, which I think is interesting, as is Jerry West and Elgin Baylor.
Jack, if you had to guess who the eighth one is, based on your list, what would be your guess?
So the name that I floated to Brandon was Moses Malone because I know he had some big years. I know he won at least two because I have a pretty good list of multiple MVPs. And I know that he was before like the Magic and Bird years, but after the Wilt and Bill Russell years. So he would have had the opportunity to do it.
Finals in what, 78 and 79 or right around there?
I don't hate Moses.
I can't say positively that he
just
got
in
a third.
General or Moses Malone, you're saying? Damn.
But the
Malone one.
The award started in 56, and I know that, like, what's that guy's name? Bob
Pettit?
Pettit, Bob Pettit. I know he won one. He may have won two. I'm just not sure about the third.
I can say this. I know it's not anybody in the 2010s. It's not anybody in the 2000s, the 90s, or the 80s. So
Jack is guaranteeing it's not Shaq nor Kobe.
Okay.
Yeah, Kobe only won one for sure.
Right. So we're saying.
You sure about Shaq?
Bubba, I would love to know your thought because I'm kind of, well, now you're going to go against this, but I'm kind of leaning to actually really putting Jack's feet to the fire and just going.
He knows the NBA.
I mean, Moses was a name I was thinking of earlier, but I don't know enough about it. It's just a name that popped in, but Jack has been all over the NBA for us. He's been our go-to NBA guy, so I think his logic is sound. So I'm
just worried it's Oscar or Jerry would be the other two.
Cam, final call? I think we should go Moses.
Yeah, we're going with Moses.
What do we make Jack do if he's wrong?
Malone.
Laps during the show? We just make him run laps during the show? Like 10 laps around the
studio?
We'll
figure that out. We're not going to get it wrong. Moses Malone.
You're locking it in?
Yes.
Lock it in.
The correct answer is Moses Malone.
Yeah! Yeah!
Apple Jack.
Wow.
Jack, the floor is yours. How does it feel?
It feels great, and I appreciate the hashtag crew having the confidence in me taking my answer. And
the Russell Wilson-esque humility. That is an unbelievable pull.
Let's fly him to Pittsburgh. We're going to give him a meeting.
Not in a private jet, though.
No. Real quick, let me just give you the two-time MVPs that all would have been very good guesses. Giannis, Steph, Tim Duncan, Jokic.
Wow, we never even mentioned Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I didn't think of him.
Jokic, Karl Malone, Steve Nash, and the aforementioned Bob Pettit.
We never mentioned, well, we knew Nash was two-time, right? We all knew probably he didn't win a third.
That was outstanding.
Great pull by Jack.
Jack, tremendous. What was the worst name that we floated in this whole thing?
I'm trying to think if
did we actually, now Jack got this to his credit. We got 8 for 8, and I think the names we even floated were good names. I don't think we had a single.
Did we have
bad
any zeros?
Name.
I feel like.
So George Gervin never won an MVP.
All right,
okay.
So, and he was. Well, we said we feel like we're missing somebody in and around the 70s, but we didn't think George Gervin had MVPs. Jack brought us home because he got the Moses Malone. Now,
Gervin,
what years were Moses' MVPs?
Moses Malone's MVPs were 1979, 1982, and 1983. So he was straddling that decade. George Gervin did win 4 scoring titles, but no MVPs. He was a part of an answer to a question earlier this week.
Jokic is -160 to win his third MVP this season. So, Jack, why don't you just tell us who's going to win the MVP this season?
Since you know all.
If I knew, I'd be making a lot
of
money.
Would you vote for Jokic or would you vote for SGA?
I personally think, and it depends on how you look at the award and the merit of it.
How do you look at the award and the merit of it?
I think that Jokic is the most valuable player in basketball right now. If you take him off the Nuggets, they might not be. They might be a play-in team. Without Jokic, and I don't know if any player in the NBA has as much impact on their team as he does.
You had a vote. Who would you vote for?
I'm going to cop out, but I think I'm saying the same thing. One in the West. If Denver gets one in the West or Oklahoma City gets one in the West, despite what Anthony Edwards did last night, 44 points, hitting his head on the rim trying to block a shot or blocking a shot, I think whoever gets one in the West, assuming it's not Minnesota because of a cat injury, gets the MVP.
That's fair.
Real quick, do you think it's a two-horse race between those guys, or do you think Tatum and or Giannis could sneak in there?
I'm pretty sure I just answered the question.
You think it's only a two-horse
race? Well, how would Tatum and Giannis get number one in the West?
Well, I mean, I think you only addressed half of the league in that answer.
Again.
There are two conferences.
I know. I answered the question
Look at
is.
The standings.
It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio or Watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.